during a time of massive federal spending cuts, Governor Tony Evers argues that it's time to invest in Wisconsin. It's Wednesday, February 19th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, a private school advocate will compete against incumbent State Superintendent Jill Underley this April. And state lawmakers have introduced a bill to make a special observance day to honor a local civil rights icon. Stay with us.
Hey, I'm Elsa Chang from NPR News. I'm proud to work with stations around the country, including Wisconsin Public Radio, to bring you news you can trust. Every day, we do our best to uncover the backstory and ask tough questions, to give voice to the diversity of our nation and share moments of beauty and joy. This comprehensive reporting is possible thanks to listener contributions. Be a part of this important work with your gift to Wisconsin Public Radio at WPR.org.
Governor Tony Evers has unveiled his proposed budget for the next 2 years. As Anya Van Wagtendonk reports, at a time of massive federal spending cuts, Evers is proposing an expanded state budget.
Evers called for about $119 billion in state spending. That's about a 20% increase from the last state budget. His plan includes more than $3 billion for K-12 education and nearly $500 million for child care subsidies. Evers also proposed some income and sales tax relief while calling for tax increases on millionaires.
In this budget, we found ways to cut taxes and save where we could while investing in key priorities and finding real solutions to real problems Wisconsinites are facing every day.
Republicans, who control the final budget writing process, immediately denounced Evers' proposals. They said they'll rebuild the spending plan from scratch and prioritize cutting spending, cutting taxes, and cutting government positions. Anya Van Wagtendonk, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Incumbent State Superintendent Jill Underley and private school advocate Brittany Kinzer were the top two vote-getters in a field of three in Tuesday's primary race for State Superintendent of Schools. While the top education post in the state is nonpartisan, Underley and Kinzer are backed by opposing political factions. Democrats and teachers' unions are largely backing Underley. Voucher school advocates and Republicans have backed Kinzer. Kinzer says she's running to restore high academic standards in the state.
It's not okay that only 3 out of 10 children are reading, writing, and doing math, and we know that we can raise the standards and we can have better for our children.
Underley says the race shows that people support public schools. The winner of the April 1st general election will face ongoing debate over how student achievement is measured and a national fight over the possible shutdown of the Federal Department of Education. Sauk Prairie Superintendent Jeff Wright came in third with about 27% of the vote. Federal workers in Wisconsin are being fired as the Trump administration slashes the federal workforce. The layoffs are affecting workers with the U.S. Forest Service and other agencies. Federal workers in Wisconsin say probationary employees were immediately fired over the weekend. They say the termination letters cited poor performance as the reason workers were let go. That's despite excellent reviews from supervisors. Matt Brissard with the National Federation of Federal Employees represents Forest Service workers, including in Wisconsin.
The U.S. Forest Service manages national forests, manages all the recreation areas, campgrounds, visitor centers, all of that. It's going to take a hit.
Those unions were in court yesterday seeking a court order to temporarily bar the Trump administration's firing of federal employees, saying it's unlawful. That judge did not rule yet. The firings have affected a dozen workers at the Shawamigan-Nicolet National Forest. A bill to make February 18th the next special observance day for public schools across Wisconsin was introduced by lawmakers yesterday. Evan Casey reveals who the bill celebrates.
Iconic civil rights activist Bell Phillips died in 2018. She achieved many firsts as a black woman, including being the first black person elected to statewide office. She would have celebrated her 101st birthday Tuesday. The Wisconsin Legislative Black Caucus introduced a bill to designate her birthday as a public school observance day in her honor. Democratic State Representative Supreme Moore Omokunde is hopeful the bill will pass. He says it'll teach more young people about her legacy.
A lot of young people will get to be introduced to someone that they didn't know grew up in the state of Wisconsin, right where they're from. And some of them would have never, you know, gotten a chance to learn about her.
There are currently 21 special observance days in Wisconsin. Evan Casey, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up, it's been really, really cold across the state of Wisconsin for the last 2 days, so let's celebrate the cold in today's Wisconsin Life. Stay with us.
Your place for independent journalism.
Utah has a new law which restricts which bathrooms or changing rooms transgender people may.
It's easy to pass southward into Mexico.
Do we go through the turnstile or straight?
What's hard is entering the United States.
That's Maha Hamdan speaking to NPR's producer in Gaza, Anas Baba. He spoke to her after last night's heavy bombardment.
Morning Edition and All Things Considered. Weekdays on WPR News.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCullum with a story about winter lake life in Wisconsin.
Lakes across Wisconsin this time of year are dotted in ice shanties, bonfires, and bundled people brave enough to face the cold. They hang out in their huts all day long and throw the occasional ice fishing tournament. For writer Patty C., these events remind her of another famous festival.
The Black Rock Desert in Nevada hosts Burning Man every summer on what used to be an ancient lake bed. Anyone who's been there will tell you it's not a festival, but a temporary metropolis, Black Rock City, created every year by burners who come to assemble giant art installations or to appreciate them, and, of course, to party and burn stuff. Here on Lake Halley, it seems like we host Freezing Man each time a group of anglers comes out to ice fish. At least that's what my new neighbor Ken calls it. He recently showed me a photo he took from his front porch of five guys huddled on the backside of their pop-up ice shelter. Ken and his wife Kim are in the midst of their second winter on Lake Halley. They notice things us old-timers no longer do. I love Ken's concept of Freezing Man. Just like at Burning Man, a temporary village materializes on Lake Halley. Ours involves dudes in pack boots and Carhartt gear on four-wheelers, and snow machines surrounded by Eskimo brand shelters that are a bit like grown-up pup tents. Anglers adhere to the Burning Man mantra, leave no trace, though I've noticed the occasional two small bluegills left on the ice. They attract bickering eagles, which bring neighbors like me to our windows with binoculars. Burning Man is held in an extreme environment, just like Lake Halley in winter. There are other similarities. Vendor free? Check. Everyone's expected to participate? Check. Balancing cooperation, self-reliance, individual expression, and creative collaboration in a community? All checks. Burning Man's experiment in temporary community goes back to the San Francisco Bay Area, 1991, when a small group set fire to a wooden structure in the shape of a man. Freezing Men on Lake Halley go back to the 1840s when Blue Mills loggers might have gathered around a small fire more for utility than an artist statement. Burning Man attracts upwards of 40,000 participants at $400 a pop. I had to do the math twice. A cool 16 million. Since 1980, the Lake Halley Sportsman's Club annual ice fishing contest the first Saturday in February brings out maybe 100, if you include the kids and dogs. You buy a dollar raffle ticket to enter, or six tickets for $5. Burning Man attendees must bring along all supplies, including food, water, and tools. If you forget something vital, your best bet is to make friends with your neighbors. On ice fishing contest Saturdays, this is exactly the culture on Lake Halley. Anglers share food, drinks, lures, and stories. This year, it's -1 degree on Lake Halley when the first vehicles arrive for the Sportsman's Club contest. By 7 a.m., I hear the familiar whir of an ice auger, though the competition technically doesn't start for another 5 hours. Across the lake, neighbor Kim makes a crowd-sized batch of chocolate chip cookies. She'll package them in Ziploc bags to give away at the registration tent. From our toasty kitchen, my husband Bruce and I watch the porta potty unloaded from a truck bed. Bruce poses the question of the day, just how cold is that toilet seat?
Patty C. lives on Lake Hallie and brought us that story on Freezing Man. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And I'm Alex Crow, and that'll do it for Morning Edition on this Wednesday here on Wisconsin Public Radio. Quick check of weather before we let you go. An extreme cold morning still in effect for northwestern Wisconsin this morning. The rest of the state under a cold weather advisory. High temperatures eventually getting above zero today into the single digits. Tomorrow looking like we could get into the teens and 20s, so we may finally be getting out of this cold stretch. That'll do it for this Wednesday's show. Thanks so much for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producers today were Mallory Chang and John Davis. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.